Scripture reading this morning is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, beginning with verse 20. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will.
It's kind of interesting in that passage how there's distinctions. There are things that are, things that aren't, things that should be, things that shouldn't be. And one of the things about our world is there's those dichotomies all around us. Sometimes we, when it talks about a house, the challenges of caring for a house, is it clean enough? Is it prepared enough for guests and visitors? So when guests or visitors come over to your house, do you do anything special? What do you do special if you're going to have guests? Clean. So some of you I know have had some graduations recently, and I'm sure that there was a process when you're going to have a bunch of people over. You clean. Do you clean regularly, or is it a little more? Someone said a lot more. So you guys are having a graduation at your place with this afternoon. So there's a lot more. So what about during holidays? Are there certain things that are out to decorate your home on a holiday that wouldn't be any other day? Why do we do that? It's for the season. What other reasons why we do that? Celebrate. It's special. It makes you happy. Would you say one? What do you mean? Yeah, so we get our house right, and so that people can come and enjoy it. Some part of it might be so we're not judged by people about how our house looks. That might be part of it. But I like where you went with it, was we clean the house, set things right, put things out so that it's not just something that we enjoy, but it's something that we can show other people, hey, we enjoy this, come join us and enjoy it too. So when he's talking about Paul's writing to Timothy, he's talking about these distinctions of a house, that there are certain things in the house that are just used everyday use. But there are other things that they're not just for everyday use, they're for special use. And one of the things he's trying to get across in this passage, I believe, is he wants them to realize that there's a way of living that could be everyday and normal and common, but there's another way of living that sets up a higher standard. That it's not just as common as you think. And one of the things he goes into in this passage of Scripture is ways of living. That there are some ways of living that the world says, well, sure, you're to live this way. But Paul says, no, that's what the world says. But God wants to set something right in you and set you apart as something he made you a special. So don't distort that specialness that God made in you and for you and for others, but embrace it. And don't just engage in things that are common. When people come over, we tend to set things right so it looks good. Another question is there something you just can't get enough of? I hear Mary giggling over here. Chocolate! Are there any other people in this room who just can't get enough chocolate? Okay, there you go, Mary. You're not alone. There's a lot of people who like chocolate. What about what other things that you just can't get enough of? Sleep. That comes from a mother of a newborn. Right? Can't get enough sleep. Other things you just can't get enough of. Money. Oh, so Elizabeth pulled the God card. All right. So that's ultimately the answer, isn't it? Because one of the things that we know, even though we get a piece of chocolate that, you know, that have you ever had that just that special milk chocolate? And just even unwrapping the wrapper, you start to go, I know what this is going to taste like. And I'm going to lose Mary and all you others that raised your hand for the rest of the sermon. But when you eat that chocolate, sometimes after you take that one piece, that one bite, all of a sudden something happens that you really, what happened to the rest of it? It's almost like you go into this trance where all of a sudden, as you're enjoying this chocolate, you kind of come out of this thing and all of a sudden it's gone. And then there's a longing for what? More chocolate! Or if you have a newborn and you're just, man, I gotta get some rest. I'm being called on all hours of the day and the night. And it's just hard to get the rest. Well, realize that there's going to be a time where that's going to change, right? There's going to be a time when, as the children grow up, that they're going to be doing more on their own, and you'll be able, hopefully, to get rest and not be overly concerned about all the things that go on in their life. But one of the things I talk about, these items in our homes, and we talk about the things you just can't get enough of. One of the things we lean into what Elizabeth said is, God, can we ever get enough God? But more importantly, realizing that God is really the only thing that can ultimately satisfy us in the long run. Because everything on this earth is temporary. Do you realize that? What do you think it would be like if we just realized in our minds that the things in life, whether it's health, whether it's wealth, whether it's relationships, whatever it is, the things that you're comfortable with, that change over time, if we could just get in our minds that this life is temporary, how might that change the way we go through life? You wouldn't sweat the small stuff. Why wouldn't we sweat the small stuff? So we use it for what it's used for. And when it's used up, we are thankful that we had it. And that maybe we might have it again, but we don't put our trust in it. So as we've been going through this series about living in the light of the resurrection, the apostles struggle with this idea that Jesus going to the cross and dying for them, it just doesn't compute because it's not supposed to end. This is a kingdom that's supposed to last forever, but God's not the way you think. It will last forever, and just wait until you see how it's going to unfold. But isn't that the hard part? That as we live in this temporal world, we're still at some level waiting to see how it's ultimately going to unfold. And that's where we start struggling with trust. And we talked about trust last week, about how God entrusts himself to us. He entrusted the Son to us. The Son entrusted himself to us. He took his sin, took our sin on himself. And in that song, that one of the songs that Josh led us is, no guilt in life, no fear in death. That's what the trust in what Jesus has done should bring us. But when we overly focus on the temporal as that which will ultimately satisfy, then when the temporal goes away, we get anxious. And we wonder if we'll get any more, or if it will ever be as good as it was. But if we remember there is a good God who gives us what we need, that He is set apart from all other things that could provide us with happiness, that He's set apart from all other things because He can give us something that can satisfy us when the temporal is gone, and when finally the eternal is present. When they built the temple, which was different from the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle had all these different things that were uniquely made, right? And they were uniquely made for a unique purpose. So you had curtain rods, and then you had holders of the curtains. So just think, oh, this little ring that holds the curtain on this rod. How important is that? It's very important. And all those things that were made for the tabernacle were so important. Only a certain group of people were allowed to manage those things. And I think what God wants us to realize and that He is creating in us, and in that passage that Jim read, that He's creating something in His church that is uniquely special. And it should be handled that way. And we are those objects, those things that make up His temple, His tabernacle, that are uniquely special. But Satan is always there trying to get us to not think how special we are. Well, part of it is our pride. You know, even God is saying, well, just realize your place. But don't forget you have one. Did you ever think you didn't have a place? And God says, I have a place for you. And because of this, when they build the temple and it's all ornate with gold and, you know, all these things are just immaculate, Solomon says to the people, this is a God who promised to my father David that things would be right. That this God is set apart from every other thing that could provide for us things that are good, because nothing other than this God can provide us good things that last past this life. Because Scripture says there really is no other God than the one and only God. But the challenge we will see later is that there's other forces at work. But this God, Solomon says, this the Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or earth below. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your ways. Now, we talked about trust, that when we see a trustful God and how He's going to care for us, even in times of pain, that there are times where He's going to try to teach us things, put us in the furnace and shape us and mold us. And we don't like that. But He says, but I'm making something special through you, that you will be a benefit to yourself, my kingdom and others that you can't imagine. But I'm doing it because I love you. And oftentimes we just stop at the pain and say, if it's painful, it can't be love. Well, yeah, it can. And we talked about the rich young ruler who Jesus just, he looked at him and loved him and told him what he didn't want to hear, but what he needed to hear. But this God that we have is set apart. But there's a God of this age, Paul talks about. A God of this temporal realm, a small g God that has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Now, another translation for blinded the minds is, that this God of the ages has given a smoke screen to unbelievers. Well, what's a smoke screen? Something you can't see through. Something, it's like right now, there's clouds out there, but we know one thing. The sun is on the other side. But if all we focus on, if it's always cloudy and all we can see is the stuff on the temporal world, well, we'll start pursuing that because maybe the sun is actually gone and it isn't really going to be sunny again. Or maybe it'll never be summer again. But we know that there is a God who promised that He is in control of these things. But the God of this age has blinded the mind of the unbelievers. Why? What does Paul say? Why has He done that? So they can't see the light of the good news. The good news about what? The good news about who God is, that he is set apart. The good news about us, that he longs for us desperately and wishes that we would rejoin him in his family that we had walked away from. So this God of this world is trying to hide the good news and try to make you think that there's good news and things that don't last. So all those things that you just can't get enough of, that you have to keep running after, it could be the source of this little g God. And this gospel, though, displays the glory of Christ in the image of God. So what he talks about in the passage in Timothy was this Satan, he will try to entrap people so that they can't see the truth. Right? So when you want to trap somebody, you put bait in there. Why? To correct them so that they'll see only the thing that's going to satisfy them, but they don't see what's underneath. That's what Satan is trying to do. Why would he want to do that? Because he knows where he's going. He knows he rebelled. He knows that in the last days it's not going to be good for him. So the only way he can hurt this God is by hurting the people God loves, all of humanity. So if I could blind somebody to the truth that their actions are really killing them rather than giving them life, Satan sits back and goes, oh yeah, keep eating it, because there's poison in that. But God is trying to burst through the darkness, burst through those clouds, so that we realize that there's good in him. I heard one person say that our culture today is most likely worshiping Aphrodite. Who's Aphrodite? Greek god, goddess of love. But not just the goddess of love, but it's the goddess of beauty. Ah, eternal youth. The god of pleasure. The god of passion. So if we put those first, we're always going to be running after those things that we love, the things that we think will make us beautiful, that we think are beautiful, the things that bring us pleasure, the things that satisfy my passions. And Jesus comes from the place of ultimate glory, ultimate love, down to this world where there's pain and suffering, to identify that there's pain and suffering, and to draw us back into true pleasure in God, in spite of what we're told, being in relationship with this God will bring pain, because we will have to sacrifice at times the things that don't last. We have to realize that this, like the false apostles, these false teachers, they are masquerading. What's a masquerade for? What's that, John? To hide your identity. So it's a mask that you wear or a costume that you wear to let people think you're something you're not. And isn't that what our world is full of? I can't let people know who I am because I'll be judged by them. But the God of heaven and earth, who saved you by the blood of his son, knows who you are. And in spite of who you are, he sent his son to die for you, and his son willingly died for you. Now he says, you are a new being in me. But this masquerading entity, these little gods that are trying to gain our heart, want to tell you these are good things that you should pursue. Isn't it surprising, he says, that his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, and their end will be what their actions deserve. But in the meantime, they're running rampant. But we have to ask God for wisdom to be able to distinguish the things that are trying to take our heart. And we have to have wisdom to use the blessings that he's given us that bring joy, that bring love, that bring pleasure, that incite passion, that we use them appropriately as God has designed them to be. So this God is set apart. But his enemy, our enemy, wants to smoke screen us. So this God is set apart, And this God sets us apart. And look how he does it. In Acts, he talks about how now I commit to you, God, in the word of his grace. So he separates us out by his word. This is a truth. But our world doesn't want to say there is a truth or there is something that is false. But don't we realize that if somebody says it's dark in here, you go, well, maybe you need to get your eyes checked. Because the lights are on. So you can say it's dark in here all you want, but what's the reality? There are things that are a reality. It's not just personal preference. But other times there are personal preferences, like a color. I like blue better than orange. It's a preference. But we can't get so confused to think everything's a preference and there's nothing that is right or wrong. He says this word which can build you up and give you an inheritance. And what's an inheritance but something that is going to be given to you at another time? And because we have an inheritance, it says something about us, that we are people of a new birth. We have a new family. We have a new father who gives us a new identity, which should cause us to have a new focus. Could you imagine growing up as a royal? All right, you know, you'd see all over in England, these little ones that the prince and the princess are having, right? They're cute, aren't they? But don't you wonder, do they realize they were born into royalty? One day they're going to figure it out, right? But right now they're just living. But then as you see his father and his mother and their grandfather who is just one day maybe going to be king. But this whole time as they're growing up, what's happening? Well, they're learning their place in this family. And one thing about God, he says, you were born into my family, but realize I'm working on you and you're going to find your place in my family. And you will ever be changing and being shaped into that what I want you to be. In 2 Corinthians, we say we have to fix our eyes not on what is seen because that's temporal and it only provides temporary satisfaction, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's hard. But what Paul says oftentimes is that he prays for the people that the eyes of their heart will be enlightened. So we don't see through our physical abilities because we can't see beyond to the unseen except through the heart. So we have to ask ourselves, what are those things that I'm focusing on? But God says, I want to show you what's real for you to run after, to pursue. John, he talks about how Jesus has come with the word that it separates us. In verse 17, he says, I sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So if you don't know God's word, you won't know what truth is. That's why we pursue God's truth, so we can distinguish the temporary from the eternal, that which is worth pursuing and that which is not. He says, you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I set apart, I sanctify them, that they too may be truly sanctified. And oftentimes when you see this word holy, it's sanctification. Sometimes we often read it as, when we see holy, as pure. And in some cases it is that, but that same word can also be set apart. So we have to be very careful how we understand what he's using that word. So he sets us apart as something special. Paul talks about how he's given us a priestly duty to proclaim the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So God wants all people set apart as special, remembering he made them that way. And God wants us to go into the world helping people realize that there is something to hope for. And there is blessing in this world. And he will bless us in this world. But remember, those blessings are temporary. But he's eternal. So the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his set apart people. It's not just pure people, which that's what we're becoming as we grow up, is more in line with our brother, our God. But we're set apart nonetheless, just as a child is born into a family. They're not of anybody else's family. They're mine. And God says, when you're born in me, you're mine. You're of my family. So you're set apart. You're not of common use anymore because you found that you're not common, but you're unique. Together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and our Lord. Also in Corinthians, it says, don't you know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters or adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. It's because we were seeking the satisfaction of passions our way. And it's okay to be passionate. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. And in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. So if the one who saves us suffers, so too we will endure some suffering as we go through that process of becoming. But both who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family, so that Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. So there will be things that Jesus had to not do so that he could do for us what we needed for him to do. And then we too have to realize there's some things that we are not to do, even though we might want to do them, because it doesn't lead us to holiness, to separateness, in preciousness in the eyes of God. And some people could say, well, that's harsh and uncaring and unloving. But is it unloving to tell someone that you're pursuing something that is leading to your death and not to your eternal life? I would say that is mean and uncaring. But God reveals himself because he cares about us. So this God is set apart. He sets us apart. And we now have to make a choice. Will we set him apart as special? But in everything, Peter says, you should, in everything you suffer, do for what is right. You are blessed. Because we're making a distinction. I'm not going to pursue the common. I'm going to pursue the set apart. And people aren't going to like that. And he says, I get it, because I get judged for it all the time. It says, do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart or revere Christ as what? Lord. Lord means master. The one who's calling the shots. The one who's going to inform us of what good living looks like. And always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you and give reason for your hope. Which means you have to have a reason for your hope. Which means you have to have a hope. Which goes back, temporary or eternal hope. But we do this how? With harshness, pointing fingers, putting people in their place? He says, no, we do it with gentleness, with respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test all things. So if we're to test all things, that means there's probably what? If we put something to the test, what's the purpose? It's to see if it passes or fails. But if we're using a temporary standard, can we trust the results? But if there is a God who cares about us and loves us and says there is a way to live that will benefit you and others, then we have to lean further into that. So we allow the Spirit to inform us. We allow His Word to inform us. We don't treat the prophecies with contempt. But we test all things, holding on to what is good, even though other people may say that is not good at all. The nice thing is they get to choose what's good, and I, for my life, get to choose what is good. And I will let them choose, because God's allowed me to choose. But that doesn't mean the results will be the same. He says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you, set you apart through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. So if we make ourselves available to him, shaping us into the object that is of a special use, he will do it. But the question is, will we allow it? That's what we have to decide. Will we allow it? And God will let us decide that. To either be more in our lives or more away from it. But we remember, we've been made for a noble purpose. He says, gently instruct. Love as I have loved. Care as I have cared. And it's not based on your ability that makes you special. And it's not based on your disability that makes you worthless. But it's because God says, you are made in my image, that I will send my son to die for you. And he wants to set us apart. Do you have challenges in your life? Do you wonder if you have something special to offer? I want you to know you do. But you have to make a choice on who's going to inform in your life what's valuable and what's not. So if you need the prayers of the church, we're here. For God wants you to be able to see the light of his gospel and not be smokescreened by this angel of light who is really looking for our death. Well, let's stand and give our God the praise he deserves.